Thank you so much for the honor. And really, Sandra and I do feel that the honor is ours. We have talked often about our life here. And it was 1985 when we walked through those doors for the first time as newlyweds, married, I think, 3 months. And who knew that a lifetime would be spent here? Now, we're not dead yet, so hopefully we still got some more to go. But so far, our life has been more spent here than anywhere else. More of our entire married life and the lives of our kids have been here with you. And we wouldn't have it any other way. Thank you, Jim and Robin, for your words. But thanks, everybody, for your words. And Rick, appreciate their time up front. Family just is a blessing. It's a rich thing. And to be with you, to see your children born, and to celebrate the end of life with many of you. It's an amazing thing to be in this place. And oftentimes in 1 week, I could stand here and look at the faces of those who are celebrating a new birth and look across to the room on this side and see the grief on people who have buried someone. It's just odd sometimes how in a group of people you can have the highs and the lows and have them be simultaneous. But that's kind of what family is, and it's what we do. And I'm so glad that God has allowed us to be here for the length of time to walk through those seasons with you, to grow older together, and to see some children that are now adults and leading in our church, and to watch them have children. It's just such a gift. And I want to thank you for being patient with us, for being gracious to us when we've been less than perfect, which is most of the time. And when we have always strived to do our best for you, but not being God, sometimes that falls short. And you've been gracious and you've been patient. You've been good. And so our love for you and our honor for you is truly reciprocal this morning. So thank you for who you are and for being the church family that you are and for giving us love today. It's nice. And we really appreciate it. And I'll even say today needed. God is good. And he knows what we need. And today is a good day. It's a refreshing day. So thank you for that. We love you very, very much. With that, I want to teach you today. That's what I love to do. If you're a guest with us today, and there are some guests here, and it's good to see my family here. It's nice to have you come and some former folks from our church. I love to teach, and I want to teach you. We're in a series called Love Does Living Absolutely. And this is a series about holiness. And men, you're going to have to help me. First, I missed my clicker today. And if somebody could bring it to me, because I want to toggle a little bit. And I didn't get that this morning. Living Absolutely. The title of this morning's message in this series is We Are in Process. We're in process. How many are glad that you're in process? You're gonna make it. Can I just tell you that? You're going to make it. The process isn't done. You're still cooking. Okay? God still, thank you, Matt. God still got you in his proverbial spiritual oven, and he's still working on you. Okay? You're not done. You're not a loser. You're not a failure. If some of you think you're there, if you think you're more than that, if you think you're all that, don't worry. God will humble you a little bit and show you that you got more work to do. We're in process. I had a conversation with a woman. Many of you know her. Some of you do not. Maybe the name might be familiar to her, familiar to you. Her name was Sister Meng. Anybody remember Sister Meng? Served children's ministries for 40 some odd years. Many of those years here at this church. A saint of a woman, gone to be with the Lord a few years ago. And one particular evening, I had a conversation with her that changed my life and that helped my process. She and I don't even know why we stopped to have the conversation, but we found ourselves right over here in this area, seated together. And she paused and she she said she wanted to tell me something. And I want to preface before I go into what she said that back in my early years in the late 60s, there was a musician. His name was Andre Crouch. Some of you might know that name. Very powerful gospel minister. And there was a song that he used to sing that for some reason as a little boy, it resonated in my heart. Resonated so much so that when I began to do some musical things, that the first time I ever sang a solo in front of anybody ever, I chose this song to sing. It was just that song for me. And I'll sing a little bit for you right now. It's meaningful to me. And it simply goes like this. When trouble is in my way, I can't tell my night from day. When I'm tossed from side to side, like a ship on a raging tide, I don't worry, I don't fret. God has never failed me yet. Trouble may come from time to time, but that's all right. I'm not the worrying kind because I've got confidence. God is gonna see me through, no matter what the case may be. I know he's gonna, if you're rolling, so I'm gonna roll too, okay? I've got confidence. God is gonna see me through, no matter what the case may be. I know he's gonna fix it for me. That song has kind of been in my spirit since about the late 60s, maybe early, about the late 60s. My parents would play it on the phonograph. That was one of those things where you had discs and you put them on, you put a needle. And it just resonated inside my spirit. Well, fast forward to that conversation with Sister Ming. She sat me down and this godly woman said, I had a dream about you. I don't know if that freaks anybody else out when they say you have a dream about you, not knowing quite what to expect. And God doesn't necessarily speak to me in dreams, maybe once or twice, maybe two or three times in my life. But she said, I had a dream about you. Can I share it with you? I said, of course. And she said, have you ever heard of that song, I've Got Confidence? And when she said that, I paid attention. We had never had a conversation about that. I had told very few people about that. She said, have you ever heard that song? And I kind of grinned and said, are you kidding? That's kind of my song, my life song. She says, well, I had a dream about you. She says, I had a dream and I saw you in your seasons of life. I saw you as a young guy. Now, this is when I was in my early 30s, maybe a couple of years in senior ministry here. She said, I saw you in your early seasons of life and you were new. You were new without any scratches, without any tarnish, without any dents and bumps. It was just shining and new, but naive. Not, haven't been through the wars yet. Haven't been through stuff yet. Well, you know what I mean by stuff, right? You haven't been there yet. Kind of like when you buy a new car and then you drive it a while and those little, you know, dings come on it automatically. You didn't have any of that. You were new and you were singing this song, I've Got Confidence. It says, but then I saw a new frame, a new picture, and you were older. You were older and you were lined. Not just age lines, but with wear. There was wear on you. There were some scars. There were some road wear on your face. There was no longer that idealistic, naive look on your face, but there was a deepness. And in that deepness, there was still the same glow, and you were still singing the same song. I've taken that to heart and remembered it, I won't say every day, but very, very, very often. Because we all have those times, don't we? You have those times? You have those times when your confidence is shaken? Maybe your confidence in God is shaken. Maybe your confidence in yourself is shaken.
Maybe your confidence in people is shaken. Maybe your confidence in government is shaken. Maybe your confidence in your ability is shaken. Maybe your confidence in just anything is shaken. And we need to know that no matter what the case may be, we have a God. And that God goes with us and for us. And we need to know that each and every day because we go through stuff. And we may not be that young, naive, spotless, clean, blemishless person that really, that person is nice, but we know that that's not real. Because that person hasn't lived yet. And those with lines on their faces this morning with a little grayer hair or no hair, you know what I mean. You go through things, and when you go through things, you get some wear. And the lines start to show. But the song can still be sung. I've got confidence. God is going to see me through, no matter what the case may be. I know. I know. Church, I know He's going to be there. And He will never, ever, ever, ever leave you. He will never, ever, ever abandon you. He will never, ever, ever stop loving you. Never. I want to teach you this morning, and I know my time is short. The food is out there. We're ready to go. I already know that. But we need this confidence. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Can I say that again? Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you, has He begun a good work in you? He's going to carry it on to completion. He's going to carry it on to completion. He's doing that work. Amen? Until the day of Christ Jesus. Legalism says God will love us if we change. The gospel says God loves us, therefore He's going to change us when we follow Him. This morning I want to briefly just touch on three things about this process that we're in. Number one, we've been justified. Number two, we've been sanctified. Number three, we will be glorified. Those are churchy words. Those are theological words. But let me help explain those words to you this morning. The verse in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Men, go ahead and flick that for me, would you please? Verse reads this way. Say it with me, would you? See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. What do we mean by these words? These three words, justified, sanctified, glorified. Let's start with number one in your outline. We are justified. That means declared holy by God the Father. You have been justified means you've been declared holy. The scripture we just read, portions of it read this way. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Get this. And that is what we, what? Are. We are that with Him. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, what? It's in your outline. You can read it with me. Dear friends, what? Now we are children of God. This is what we are. We are this when? Now. We are justified now. We are positionally holy. In your notes, we are positionally holy, free from the penalty of sin. Justification, or the word justified, is a legal term. When we sinned, and when man originally sinned, we broke God's law. That's legal. When you speed, you break the law. That's legal. When we sin, we break God's law. That's legal. We broke His law. When the breaking of the law happens, there is a punishment for breaking the law. The scripture says that the wages of sin is death. That's the punishment. Death is the penalty of breaking God's law. Not because God is anxious to punish us, but when we separate us from life, the only alternative is death. We chose that. The wages of sin is death. And all of us are bound for that. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How many have sinned? All of us have sinned. We are all destined for the penalty of death. Now, the scandal of grace is this, that we don't pay the penalty for our sin. Jesus Christ went to the cross, hung on the cross, and said, "It is finished." When he said it is finished, that's a legal term. It's the same legal term that a judge would command when he said, when he pounds the gavel and says, "Not guilty, pardoned, set free. You're not going to be punished. You're set free." That's a legal term. We have already been legally proclaimed holy in God's sight. How many feel holy this morning? I don't either. You feel it. Well, you know, praise God for that. I don't always feel holy. The reason I don't feel holy, because I know what I was thinking about X time ago. I know what runs through my mind, what runs through my attitude, what tends to come out of my mouth, the things that get inside of me and that inside sometimes. And I don't feel holy. And when I don't feel holy, I've got to go back and rest on my position. My position in Christ is that I am holy, not because of me, but because of Jesus. I have been justified just as if I've never sinned. That's what that word means. Because we've been justified, we have peace with God. Here's what Romans 5:1 says. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's not a peace that, oh, I feel peace now. No, it's the removing of that enmity between us and God. Now there's a relationship restored between us and God. He has declared us holy by the blood of Jesus on the cross. You are positionally holy, and that ought to fill you with peace and security. Because we have been justified, we have peace and security. Why would a person whom the judge has pounded the gavel and said, "Not guilty," walk out of the courtroom and be afraid that he's going to go to jail? Why would that person do that? He wouldn't do that. He's free. Why then do we as Christians oftentimes walk on eggshells wondering if God's got the big hammer waiting to pound us the first time we step out of line? That's not God. That's condemnation, not conviction. Condemnation says, "You're bad, you're in trouble." Conviction says, "I love you, let's change the behavior." We're justified. Everyone in this room, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you this right now. You are holy. You are holy. No matter what the case may be, you're holy. Have confidence that you're holy this morning. Amen? Are you, though, actually in your life, in your day-to-day goings, in your mind, in your mouth, in your attitude, are you holy? Yeah, I know. Isn't that a bummer? Me neither. We are declared holy legally. Number two, there's another word. It's called sanctified. Sanctified. We are being sanctified by the work of the indwelling Holy Spirit. We are justified. Past tense, done deal. We are being sanctified. In our daily life, it's working out. It's the process. We're becoming more and more like Christ as we live with Him. The Holy Spirit is working in us to actually produce what God declared. You are holy, now let's get holy. You follow me? You're holy legally, now let's be that. Let's walk that way. In that scripture we read in 1 John, reads this way, "All who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure." We purify ourselves. That's the working it out. He's called us to do that work. Now, it's a combination. It's a cooperation. I know there are some things that I can't change about me. But as I obey Him, I find that His work in me starts to transform. And pretty soon, I'm not the same person I was anymore. And I'm baffled by that miracle. But it's Him that's done the work. I've just obeyed every day. And it's this wonderful divine cooperation, us with God. We are progressively holy, free from the power of sin. If justification frees us from the penalty of sin, sanctification frees us from the power of sin. Here's what I mean by that. You can say no to sin. You can say yes to righteousness. You have that power in you by the Spirit of God who lives in you. You are no longer helpless to say, well, I just can't help it. I got to do what I got to do. I don't have a choice. You have a choice now. You're no longer a slave to sin. That ought to bring out a reaction in you that's a little more powerful than that. You are no longer a slave to sin. Thank you. That's what we have to live in every day, right? When we face those things, we face those issues, we face that stuff that arouses that inside of us and our flesh starts to bark and to rage and to snarl. We can say to that, I don't have to obey you. You're not my master. The Holy Spirit's my master, and I've got confidence He's going to see me through. No matter what the case may be, I can say no to you, sin, and I can say yes to righteousness. We were a slave to sin and couldn't say no. You couldn't say no. It was impossible. Now with Jesus in our life, we can say no. And we can say yes to Him as well. We're progressively being made holy. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this, may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's His work in us. But He works that out as we work it in, as we allow Him to move in our lives. Now, there's two extremes we've got to avoid with this. One is living in constant fear that God is angry about our failures, making God unapproachable. When we're constantly afraid and worried about our failures, it makes God unapproachable. We don't want to look Him in the eye. We're always worried that He's going to hammer us. And I've got to be honest, of these two extremes, I slide toward this one most often. That God is judgmental, He's upset, He's angry, He's disappointed. And that's not God. That's satanic. It is literally satanic because it flies in the face of the work of the finished pouring out of the blood of Jesus. He is wanting me to change. He wants me to grow. He wants me to stop with the foolishness that I slip into. But I am not condemned. I have been justified and I am being sanctified. I'm in process and I've got confidence God is going to see me through. No matter what the case may be, He's going to carry us because we're in process. He's good that way. The second extreme is that we live nonchalantly, not taking obedience and sin seriously. God is then taken for granted. There's even a phrase coined, and it's a filthy phrase in my opinion. It's called cheap grace. You should never put the word cheap and grace next to each other because grace did not come cheap. It came at a precious price of the Lord Jesus' blood. But that phrase was coined when people want to say that cheap grace means, well, we have grace, therefore we just do what we want. Therefore we just behave how we want to behave. That's not holy, and that's the other extreme that's really, really dangerous. God's not out to punish us with every little slip. He's a father, and He'll discipline us, absolutely. But we're not condemned. The other extreme is, oh, I'm good no matter what. That's not true. We're called to walk holy and to leave the life of sin. And God will work that in us as we walk with Him. Because we are being sanctified, we have purpose and strength. This helps us embrace our purpose. What's our purpose today? Walk as Jesus walked. What's our goal today? Follow Him implicitly. What's my desire today? Keep my eyes fixed on Him as Peter did walking on the water. Always Jesus, always Jesus, always Jesus. That's my goal. That's my aspiration. And as I keep my eyes fixed on Him, the miraculous of a life change happens in me. And I get this. I know the struggle. We take two steps forward, three steps back sometimes. But God is with us and He never fails. Because I've got confidence. He's going to see us through. He's going to see you through too. So we have been justified. I am declared holy. The penalty of sin no longer is over me. I am being sanctified. It's a process. And the power of sin has no more hold on me. And the great joy is that we will be glorified. The presence of sin will no longer be over us. We're going to be glorified, church. There's going to be a day when we'll see him as he is. 1 John 3, that scripture reads this way. What we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We're going to be like him. We're going to be perfectly holy. We are going to face him, and when we face him, he will transform us in a way that none of us has even the imagination to perceive. We will no longer battle. We will no longer struggle. There'll be no longer that inner turmoil, that tug of war in our spirit, where our flesh pulls one way and God pulls the other way. And there's be no more giving in, no more temptation, none of that. We will be glorified. And it's an absolute truth. It's not a, I hope so. It's not a maybe. It's not a, well, possibly. It's an absolute. It's so absolute that God even puts this in past tense. In Romans chapter 8, it reads this way, verse 30. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. That word, is it in past or present tense or future tense? That's in past tense. Remember, God's timeless. God's timeless. God's outside of this chronology that we're in. So he declares us holy. He's making us holy. And right now, God sees us in our glorified state. He sees the end of the dream. And you know what he sees? He sees you bright and shining, singing the song, I've got confidence. God has seen me through. There's been stuff. There's been the wars. There's the blemishes. There's the lines. There's the wear and tear. But there's the glow brighter than any other glow. Because you've been glorified. It's happening. It's happening right now. It happened as soon as you said yes to Jesus. As soon as you accepted his finished work on the cross. And this glorification, this, we are perfectly holy for your notes. We are perfectly holy, free from the presence of sin. And because we are glorified, we rejoice in the hope. If you're new with us this morning, and maybe you're just wondering, you know, we celebrate a lot today. We've been, you know, during worship, we clap and praise, and it's all beautiful. There's a reason we rejoice. The reason we rejoice is because we've been declared holy. We know God is with us, making us holy. And we already know, as God says, it's a done deal. We are already holy from his perspective. We're complete. We can sing the song. No matter what, we can have confidence. And this gives us joy. Church, the days have got to be over when we sit around beating ourselves up over failures. If you've been justified, God has declared you holy. The penalty of sin is broken. But we've also got to walk in holiness. God demands that of us. That we follow him. That we take his word seriously. There's no such thing as cheap grace. It's expensive grace. He's called us to follow him. Will we follow him perfectly? Not on this planet. That's when we rely then on the finished work and say, but I'm going to make it. He's going to finish the work. Church, don't be discouraged. If you're discouraged this morning because you've battled and gone round and round with the same stuff, you just keep battling. You just keep pressing on. You just keep going forward. You just keep enduring. Take another step. Pray another prayer. Read another verse. Serve another hour. Keep going. Keep going. When you're faced again, there's your new challenge. Let's overcome that next time. You might make it, you might fall, but let's get up again. And let's get up again. And let's get up again. And let's get up again. Let's keep getting up because what? We're being glorified. It's a finished work. God is with us and he's going to finish his work. We constantly need to lean on these three principles. Now, these are not chronological. You don't start out with, okay, I get the justified, I'm sanctified, glorified. It's not, these are all three simultaneous. We need them all three, all at the same time. Amen? Because we're in process. And sometimes we forget that we've been declared holy. And when we forget, that's when we think God's mad at us and wants to squash us. We forget that we've been glorified, and that's when we lose hope and think, oh, I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to be what God wants to be. I'm never going to get there. No, he's already said you're there. We need it all at the same time. And those two bookends keep us in the middle. Keep stepping, 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 stepping. Keep going. Because I've got confidence God is going to see us through. No matter what the case may be, I know he's going to fix it for us. Doesn't quite rhyme, but we get it, don't we? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for the truth. You have justified us. The penalty of sin is no longer a threat. You are sanctifying us even now. The power of sin is no longer our slave master. And you will glorify us. The presence of sin will no longer be in existence in our lives one day. God, I pray that wherever we find ourselves this morning, that you would help us, God, to embrace these absolute truths. We need to live absolutely in this. And I ask you, Father, to help us. Encourage us today, Lord. There are some in this room, Father, that I know are discouraged. They're tired of going around the hamster wheel of sin, running hard and never getting anywhere. God, I pray in Jesus' name that today you'd set them free. God, there are others that think because they failed so many times that you can't possibly be this patient. God, help them to realize that your blood is so much more patient. God, there are those who feel like they're never going to make it. God, help them to realize this morning, you already see them glorified. They do make it. God, I praise you. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this blessed, blessed day. This celebration day, I thank you, God, for their love for Sandra and I and the kids. I thank you for giving us the privilege of loving them, being family with them. Thank you, God, for this gift. Now, Lord, help us to realize your gift, which is really what makes it all happen. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you to respond this morning to the powerful love of Jesus Christ. If you're feeling the weight of the penalty of sin, you don't yet really realize that God's already declared you holy. You need to know that. You're not a lost cause. God is not angry. The wrath of God has been diverted. It was diverted onto the cross. And when Jesus' blood was shed, that anger of God was stopped. It was washed away. You are justified. How many of you need to know that God's not mad at you this morning? Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, but I'm watching. I'm looking around. You can just put up a hand and say, you know, I really need to know that God's not mad at me. Just put up your hand. Put it back down. Yeah, yeah, you can put it down. Yeah, all over. Yeah. He knows you've sinned. He knew you were going to sin before you sinned. Wasn't that a surprise to him? That's why he went to the cross. Others of you are walking it out. And you're really struggling with saying no. You haven't yet realized that you have the power in the Holy Spirit to resist. And that he is doing the changing work. Maybe you felt fruitless. Felt powerless. But now today you realize, no, you have power. The power of the Holy Spirit in your life. How many would raise their hand and say, I needed to know that I've got power to say no. Because I've been doing some battling. And put up your hand. Yeah. Yeah, all over. Sure. Sure. Oh, man. I raised my hand to that too. And others of you have a difficult time seeing the finished product. Feel like I'm never going to make it. Am I ever going to get through this? But now you know that you have been glorified and you will be glorified. And that confidence now gives you joy, has the power to pull you out of discouragement, to pull you out of even depression, because you know that a hope and a future is yours. The raised hand, how many needed to hear that this morning? You've got a hope and a future. Yeah, all over. All over. Praise God. Let's pray for each other this morning, shall we? This is family day. It's a wonderful family day. If you raised your hand at all this morning, would you just stand to your feet? Go ahead, stand to your feet. It's going to be most of us, all right? So don't be bashful. If you raised your hand for any reason today, just stand up right where you are. Praise God. Praise God. That's what family does. And here's what also family does. Family prays for each other. Family loves each other. Family supports each other. So if you're sitting by one person who's standing up, stand up with them. Put your arm on their shoulder and we're going to pray. Okay, let's pray because we're all in process. We're all in the process. We all need God in the process. So let's pray together. Pray for the person you got your hand on. Pray for the person on your left and on your right. And I'm going to pray a prayer and then we're going to go eat. Lord God, I thank you, Jesus, for this morning today, the celebration morning. It's a testimony, God, to endurance. And we need endurance this morning. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help each one of us to realize that we have been justified. The penalty of sin is no longer on us. We can say today, without deception, without manipulation, that I am holy before God. You may even pray that right now. Say those words. I am holy before God. You have justified us, Lord. But God, we're working it out. We're in process. And Lord, we need your help. Sometimes it gets discouraging day after day after day, fighting the same battle, the same struggle, the same mental temptation. Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you that you have given us the power to say no. And that we are in progress, in process. We might even pray this right now. Say it with me. I can say no to sin in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that we're in process. And many of us, Lord, need to know that we've been glorified. We're going to make it. We will see you face to face and we will be like you. It's not a hope. It's not a myth. It's not some kind of future dream. It's an actuality. You have proclaimed it. And right now, Lord, I accept your finished work in my life. We might pray this. Say it with me. I will be glorified. Today I am glorified. Because Jesus did the work. And I am free. Praise his name. Praise his name. Thank you, Lord. Let's give God glory and praise, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. We praise you, Father, for you are good. You are good. There is none like you. There is nothing we can do but praise you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. Your glorious, matchless name. Thank you, Father.
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10100 North Selling Road in Cupertino, California.